saw that today's Maamar Tomos focused on the issue of Das and Kedushin, but we're still a little bit tied to the previous Maamar Tomos because one Mukher specifically that I just want to look at with you, maybe we'll read it together, it was on the list the previous time. And it's a separate topic, but it's a topic that tells us a little bit about the previous topic. Is that a confusing enough sentence? So we had been talking about Shavu Kesef Kekesef and about what did that tell us about the Kenyan Kesef and about the nature of how it works. And the Ran brings up an issue which really is on the surface relevant already, because the question is how far do we go with Shavu Kesef? Anything that's Shavu Kesef? But also the way in which he addresses it is significant. So I just want to spend a few minutes looking at it together with you and considering it and reflecting on how it impacts some of these issues. So hopefully you saw this, Ran, it was on the previous list. But the Ran and the first daf of the Dafei Harif, so the Ran brings up the question, it's around the middle of his statements. Kibra Masvil Isser HaItalki.
Which daf?
Aleph Mor Aleph Adap Beherif. It's where the word in the middle of this whole deep word, the word Mihu. So he introduces the idea that there might be a qualification to the idea of Shavu Kesef, but not everything works. So Mihu Ikamando Amar, there are those who say, who's he talking about here, by the way? Doesn't say, but sorry?
Yeah, no.
So they're probably talking about the Bali Iter. And the Bali Iter, as you've got to see as well, is going to make an appearance in the Das Sugya as well. So the Bali Iter is going to be hanging around us for a little while. So here he is again, popping up all over the place. So he writes here, Mihu Ikamanda Omar, Dafal Gab Shavu Kesef Kesef in Kedushin. Yeah, it's true. We have this idea that Kedushin doesn't require actual cash. It can be value of cash also. But it's not absolute. We're talking about things that you can move around. Aval, karkos, well, but not real estate, even though this is what people sometimes want the most. And it has the greatest value, according to some. Nonetheless, maybe it shouldn't work, because that the Gemara is going to tell us that we understand the concept of shtar from its relationship to get, that there's a shtar that gets you out of the marriage, that's yitzia, so therefore there's also a shtar that gets you into it, that's havaya. So that's how we know the whole concept of shtar. Okay, so that exists. So here is the chiddush that these anonymous Rishonim say, came in the Makshina, and since we make this Hekesh, Ma Yitzia the Mechzuber. So then we should also make the connection that just like a Yitzia doesn't work with Mechzuber, doesn't work with that which is attached to the ground. Shane Kosin is like, Gap the Mechzuber the Karaka, because you can't really get in such a way, he's back maybe. So Afavai Yanami the Mechzuber Lo. So too, maybe Kedushin also doesn't work with Mechuber. But if you write it, and there's a proof that it brought to this point from the Gemara in the first part of the Gittin, Gaviha, the Tanya Hasa, the Gimel Dvarim, Shal, the Gittin Nashim, Shuk, the Yavadim, the Parchin, and Allah, the Ha'ik, and Mechuber, Mashina, Milsa, the Yisa, the Kedushin, so. Milsa, the last of the Kedushin, Loksa. Alma, the Mechuber, after Kshul, after Kedushin, so. It sounds like in that Gemara, the Mechuber is no good for Kedushin either, for less. That's not true. The Chiyamir Hasim Mechuber Hasim Kedushin, any reference you're going to have to say that Mechuber is no good for Kedushin, Hanim Yilei be Kedushin Shtar. That's only true if you're using a Shtar. Shim Kosov Lo Al HaMechuber Harei HaMekudashisli V'nos Bula Lo Havi Kedushin. So if you're going to write on the Shtar, you're going to use the Shtar as a Shtar Kedushin, and you're going to give that for that purpose, so then it's not going to be any good if it's written on the Mechuber. The Kedusha Shtar who the Makshin and the Yitzia, because specifically, it's Kedusha Shtar that is connected to divorce.
aval nazlum lakarka umachuber v'toras kesef. Let's say you give her land or anything connected to land, you give it as value. So avade mahanya. The havayi de kesef lo bo'inin zamiyud litzia. That the marriage takes place through money does not have to therefore be comparable to divorce. Ha'achim uchamam de gemar. They're buying shtar eris and shkosu lo shishma. So the question about what about a shtar that's written in Boshalo Lashma, Mahud Aminova, Mahabai Bekasaf, Loboy Lashma, Afavai Bishtar Lobin Lashma. Right, so there, what's the nature of the question? Kolomar de Lobo, Ian Shaykh Suras had Dinar Kabu Lashma. No one's going to say that the question of Lashma that we apply to the shtar, and when it comes to the Kasaf, that we say, okay, we have to go to the mint, and you have to make sure that when they make the money should be minted Lashma. So that shows you it's a completely different concept. So you may say this is not a good proof, right? Because the concept of lishma doesn't really actually carry over to money anyway. Right? That the whole nature of kesef is that it happens through value anyway. So who would even think that there's any significance to how the coin was minted? The afal gal pekim makshina havayis lahadadi legamri makshina like the mukta chayi afilu hachi kevin the hayti gitlan bukha tisaf mechil to bukha hajish mechil be kadeshas nistabu the kedushin chayin das rashba. Okay, so basically what do you see from this Ron? So this Ron is just interesting as a footnote to the whole discussion, right? Because once we're talking about Shabbat Kesef, so it's important to clear up whether this is absolute or not. So the question of practicality is, all right, you tell me I can use anything, I want to use my backyard. So that's going to be an important question to clarify. But in addition to that, it's just interesting what exactly is the nature of the logic here, back and forth from the way the Ramban presents it. And there are a couple of interesting points that emerge, just want to call to your attention before moving on. So what do you see from this Ramban? What do you note that might be relevant just to understanding the whole discussion?
Ron?
Yes, Ron, I was again testing it, please, if you pay attention. So I'm glad that you're listening. So what else do you notice from your Ron? Yes, Morty.
How much different forms of each other and how much they're really equivalent.
Okay, so that's definitely one of the major themes that we have to notice. When Mara says we can see a connection between different things, so here, just take this abstract example, so Makish Havaya Liyatsiya, so should we assume that that creates some type of a status on the whole concept of Kiddushin? Here, that was apparently the premise of the Baal Yezer, that yes, that if we're going to make a limud, if we're going to assume that there's a hekesh that connects the process of divorce to the process of the kiddushin, so then all the kinyanim go together, and they should all operate under the same rules. While the Ran is the social, right? The Ran's pretty sure it's not true. And the Ran saying that no, that that's only there to derive one specific kinyan kedushin. But to extrapolate from there, that all the three kinyanim are going to have a role that's going to shadow over all of them, why should we say such a thing? Morty, you had a further comment, or is that basically?
Well, yeah, also the fact that if they are connected or not connected, that could also show on whether they're like a component part.
So, but there are a couple of points that emerge from that, right? So, Mordish is reminding us that we had previously looked at the Ritva, where the Ritva takes up the question of why are the three kinyanim listed in the order that they're listed? And he had two types of answers. One was basically a scriptural type of answer, a textual type of answer, trying to figure out if the flow of the text in Chumash explains it.
And then he goes on to say that Bia is last because Bia is usher to do. So we noted that those answers are very different forms, because the first answer basically says there's no practical difference here. We just want to explain why the Mishnah is written the way it is, and we'll have an answer based on why the Torah is written the way it is. But when it comes to the other answers, it's suggesting really two things. So that's also why I just want to draw this out of what you're saying. One is that, yes, maybe they're not equal in terms of preference, and that just because B is on the list doesn't mean that it's just as good an idea as the first two. But also there's a perhaps deeper point that comes out here, which means that maybe the Kinyanim don't work the same way. And that's, I think, something that's coming out of the Ran statement here also. And that just because there is a limud as to how shtar works, or that shtar exists in the first place, but that doesn't tell us anything about how kesef works. Kesef could work independently, and therefore whatever limudim are going to apply in a specific kinyan, we don't know necessarily that they're going to tell us anything about any other kinyan, which is just a kind of a support for our suggestion last time that even though Kesef is a Kenyan, like many other Kenyanim, or like the two Kenyanim that we find here, but maybe there's something fundamentally different about how it works, and therefore that's going to perhaps affect things. So along these lines, it's also worth noting, if you have access, not such a hard safer to get a hold of, the Kovid Shiur, the B'chonin Wasserman's Shiur on Kedushin. So, if you're familiar, it's definitely one of the classical Yeshiva Shesvarim to be acquainted with. So, you know why everyone drives in a parkway and parks in a driveway? So too, the second most common question like that is the Svarim of B'chonin Wasserman, that he has Svarim, he has a sefer on Yevamos, which is very elaborate, developed, really intricate Shiurim. So that sefer is called the Kovei Tzaaretz, a collection of notes. And there's a sefer of really notes, which really a set of haaretz throughout the Masechtas, is called Kovei Shiurim. So why we park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? Why is the Kovei Tzaaretz called that and not the other way around? I can't tell you. But in the Kovei Shiurim, which is really a collection of haaretz, so the first three Nekudos, that sefer is arranged by osios. So if you look at the first three osios in Kedushin, so he talks about this question. He talks about this issue of Kedushin with Karka and with Machlokes, and it's important points that he raises that illustrate some of the ins and outs of this. So, do you have a question about that?
It's going to be a certain point to all
of you. Okay, it's like a Ha'arim more than a Shir?
Yeah,
okay, so if you look at the first three Ha'arim and the Kodesh Shirim, first three Osios and Kedushin, so in the first host, he talks about the question, which is very relevant to what we're saying, and it's just you can take a look at it on your own. He says this issue that, let's say, the Ran's position, that the Hekesh does not extend beyond Shtar, so why is that? Is that because it's just by Shtar, so it's either by Shtar, and not assume that it has any connection to anything else, which is more supportive of what we're saying here, that each Indian has its own unique process. And if you have a limud in one context, there isn't really any reason to assume that we should transfer it from one to the other. Or are there technicalities? Maybe we should say that really the drasha could have gone to everything, but for various other reasons, which he explains at some length, you could say that the limudim come and undermine it, and you get left with the conclusion that we don't apply this to Kesef. But your opening default position could have been that the limud does apply to all of the Kinyanim. So that discussion, if you want to take a look inside, again, Osa Aleph in the Kovitz Yerub, so that's going to be relevant to this question of how linked are the Kinyanim so that one drasha is going to impact on all the others. Then the second dose, which again is a Maramakum, so he discusses the question of, well, let's try to deal with it conceptually. So why is it that by get it can't be Mechubar? And there, as he notes, he finds in the Rishonim and in the Sefer Chazal really two reasons why it is. That maybe when it comes to a get, so a get has to be a sefer, and a sefer is by definition not something which is attached to something else. A little ironic to say that after Parshas Kisavu, we read about writing the whole Sefer Torah on rocks, but that aside, maybe a sefer by its very nature is something that is portable. And then you have to ask, okay, well, how much of that could carry over to Kiddushin? Kiddushin is no halacha of sefer, but maybe this broad category of dumyut to sefer, that it has to have certain commonalities with the sefer, maybe that carries over also. Or there's another approach that you find, which is a little bit more relevant to Kiddushin. That's for a get, right? Get is sefer, correct. So get is called the sefer. So we know, therefore, a sefer perhaps regulates a little bit what can logically be called a sefer, even though we know that a get doesn't look like a book like we have on the table, or even a book more classically necessarily, but it's maybe got something to it. It has some limitations as to what can reasonably be called a sefer, and maybe that's a part of it. Or is the idea that it has to be a davar haniten miyad diyad? It has to be something that can be handed from one person to the next. The Torah says, the dasan biyada, that the get has to be put into the hand. So then maybe that's not going to work functionally by something that can't be picked up by a move. And again, then the question is, how much is that going to be a concept when it comes to Kiddushin? Now, on the one hand, no pun intended, that sounds a little bit even more relevant to Kiddushin, because Kiddushin doesn't actually have a halacha of sefer, but we know practically it does involve giving something from one hand to the next, putting the ring, putting the shava kesef into her hand. However, we also know from sugyas that you've seen because you're plowing ahead in your bakiyas, that we have Kiddushin working in ways that don't actually involve any physical transfer, but hana, that doesn't fit a standard of mitan miyad miyad. So again, the next question is going to be, is when we look at it conceptually and we say, okay, when it comes to get, there are certain possible reasons for this exclusion, and maybe we have to examine those in order to figure out whether it's going to work by Kiddushin as well. And the third os, about that second os, by the way, for instance, think a little more about that if you want further Maran Rukomos and the Sifri Akronim. So there is a short discussion about this, or actually a longer discussion about other aspects if you want to again explore this further on your own time. So we also have a safer of Chaim Shmulevitz in this year. Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Mira Shiva, who's more known for his Sifas Musar in the literary world. But we have his Shir Man Gemara as well, many volumes of Shire Chaim and Kiddushin. So Shir Dalit, he talks about Kiddushin in with Karka, and the beginning of it, he talks about this question as well about what's the nature of the exclusion of the get and whether or not that makes sense to transfer that over to Kiddushin. So the third point that is raised by Rav Chaim is what would happen if you're Mekadesh, if you assume like the Ran, the Rashba, that you can be Mekadesh and Nisha with Karka. So what would happen if you do this in Eretz Yisrael during the Yovel year? Right, if you want some creative possibilities. So what would happen in those circumstances? And how does that affect things? The fact that it's not going to stay with her. So here, he notes, this is something that we'll get to, but just to give a little preview of this also, that is probably an machlokus rishonim, or he thought maybe it's totally an machlokus rishonim, about whether you can mekadesh an isha with a matana amanas lahachzir. Right? I think we should probably keep a list if you want to write a book, maybe for Purim purposes, of the least possible, the least romantic ways possible to get married. So if you look at some of the cases throughout Kiddushin, probably it's make for an interesting article sometime. All the various ways you can drain all the romance out of it. So probably if you were to say under the chuppah, listen, I've got this ring, but I just really can't let you keep it. You got to hold on to this and know somebody better might come along. I mean, whatever, there's all kinds of reasons. But you should still feel pretty special because I'm letting you use it today. I don't know how that's going to go over with the kala, but the question of using matana manas lahasir for kedushin, can you effectively do mekadesh nisha with that? So that is a big question, and that's machlokas harishonim. So the Rambam felt that hanah by itself is not enough; it has to be hanah that sticks. It has to be hanah hanisharis. So that's going to be a question. So should you say that karka will be affected if the karka is not going to stay in her hands? So then he goes on to distinguish, says maybe it's even worse than that. That, okay, matana manasa hafzir at least is a hanah right now, it just has a condition that you have to give it back. But the karka is going to be automatically zapped out of her hands like magic. So maybe that's also going to be different, and maybe that should be even worse. So these are just important points if you're thinking of doing this. And if you're doing this in the mantra yovo noeg, so make sure to check with the Masada condition whether or not it's valid at that time, because you should be aware that it's a suffix in the Kodesh Shirim and Kedushin, and you may not want to do that if you're worried about the efficacy of your condition. I think that was up first.
According to the Rambam, what if you give something that doesn't last? I mean, if you give hair or something like that.
Right, so there, that for sure works, because that is the hana of the free.
So, yeah. What? So, could it be that if you have a certain amount of time before the yoga, that it works?
So, right, so that's a fair question. How do you define what's considered to be a hana of something that you can't keep that you otherwise would keep? So that's something that we'll have to... And then it's also a question of the difference of what do you use. You know, you say, I'm mekadesh you with this item, or I'm mekadesh you right with the value that you would pay to have this item for a limited period of time. Maybe that would be a different story. Yes?
I think this is an important point to make that occasionally make, is that when he sees a list, he often says, is it that everything's different? Is it that everything's the same? Or is it sometimes that there are groupings within the list? So, for example, in this case...
You're not talking about the list of Israel and the ways to get married.
No, we're talking about...
That question we asked them also.
Right. But Kesef Shar Bia, meaning, is it possible that Kesef Shar, a unit versus Bia, and that's why the Balaiter is Hash Iran. Iran's saying only goes through...
Balaiter against Iran.
The Balaiter is against Iran.
I see
what
you're saying.
What?
So you mean by slash?
Yeah.
Right.
I was checking your thing.
Right, got it.
In terms of the fact that the Ron goes through the fact and tries to prove against him by saying, well, you don't see Lishma by Kesper. It's hard to say that, right? But he didn't say that by Bia. And the point being that it's ridiculous to say that by Bia, because it's not in the same ballpark.
Then what should I say again? What's ridiculous?
That Lishma, right? He only tries to prove that Lishma just can't be affected by Kesper, and therefore it shouldn't be a problem, and similarly then Mechobar should be a problem. He doesn't have to have that discussion with Ibea, possibly because he's only worried about Kesef and Shar, and so as much the fact that they're more relatable as a unit.
For the purpose of Lishma.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, is that really true? I mean, when it comes to Bia, it's even more of a question that Bia has to be Lishay and Kedushin. You want to say that focusing on a different aspect? The action. What's a good segue into our next sugya? The question of what counts for what in terms of what are we talking about when we use these terms? So let's take it to that. Okay. So again, that's just a brief interlude into this question of karka. Again, it would be a worthwhile point to note, even just a footnote, that we're talking about shavu kesef, whether it's absolute or not. But it's also more significant because it gives us a little bit of a window. Some of the loneliness of how these things are related to each other. So to continue that perspective, keeping our eye on the ball of that question as we look through various sugyas is also worthwhile. So for all those reasons, that brief interlude into Kedushin by Karka was worth noting. Okay, so now let's get started on the question of Das by Kedushin. So here, there are a couple of questions that we need to keep in mind. Okay, so first of all, if I were to ask you, does Kedushin mean das? So there are a lot of follow-up questions you might want to ask before answering. So what questions could you ask about that question?
Who's das?
Sorry?
Who's das?
Okay, so one major question is, who are we talking about? Is it the same between the husband and the wife? All right, by the way, just parenthetically, those of you who were here on the Sunday a few weeks ago when we discussed, I think it's on the Vayetorah's Kedushin Elul, which was kind of an intriguing title. But the real topic was talked about the idea of Chasam Kala fasting and how it overlaps with certain sugyas, both of the nature of tshuva and the nature of how Kedushin works. So one of the positions we saw, one of the suggestions as to why the Chasam and Kala fast was, these were suggestions that were found in the Maran Mintz. Maran Mintz is quoted both by the Beis Shmuel and Eben Ezra and the Magen Avraham and Aruch Chaim. So one of the suggestions was that the Chasam and Kala fast because we're worried about them getting drunk. And it's not obvious exactly what the nature of that problem is. Why do we care if they get drunk? So do we care equally if one gets drunk or both get drunk or either one? Is it the same thing? And we don't have an explicit answer to those questions. That's part of really what we have to figure out now. And how exactly would the intoxication of one or either party bother us? So that's part of the question. How exactly does the possibility of intoxication affect das, and is it an equal concern for both parties? Okay, so one question Noah asks is, well, if you want to know if das is necessary for Kedushin, I need to know, are you talking about the chasen, are you talking about the kala, are you talking about both? Okay, what else comes up? Do we have the... I'll never have the... Sorry? That's very far away. Yeah, I know you have your own board too. Okay, cool. Okay, so what else would be a question we would mention about that?
What type of das?
Okay, so what type of das? Now, das is a das in general. This is a place, and this sugya very much so, is an area where it's possible to fall into a risker trap, for lack of a better term, with all due respect, is that we have to know what our terms mean. That's why Rabbi Mendel Blachman is very fond of insisting that the students say things in English, because a question of once you're using certain terms which become popular in Lumdisha discourse, so it's easy to have them mean different things or know things. And just to give some examples, you mentioned that I'm saying that. Sugya, people and the two holding the Baba Kama, I think such a thing as a chalois lachne toda. So different words mean different things in different contexts. So we need to know, what does das mean, right? Before you're even longish, before you're even going to be longish. So what English words would be appropriate here? And what meanings? You know, to use a very similar type of sugya, let's say if you want to learn the sugya of mitzvah srichas kavana, so you could find that the meaning of kavana when it comes to mitzvahs is a very broad term and could mean lots of things. Or, again, highly relevant to these types of sugyas, that in that same concept, when you start talking about mitzvahs meaning kavana or mitzvahs meaning lishma, you'll find that there are some sarim where those terms are basically used interchangeably, and others who assert that that's a mistake to use these terms interchangeably because they don't mean the same thing at all. So this is going to be a big question for us. So what kind of das? Right, we have other words that sound like they're talking about the same kind of thing, such as what? Even just with the Hebrew words. Sorry? So maybe kavana is going to come in. Das could come in. What else? It's a big one. Ratzon. Sorry. Right. So, is there a difference between Ratzon, Das, and Kavana? And is there a difference between different levels of Das? Does Das always mean the same thing in every context? Yes, sir.
Does here work in the same way that it works in other places?
Oh, could you have anything specific in mind, or just as...
No, I'm just saying, like, is this...
Does Das always mean the same
thing? Is this, or in Kiddushin, is it the classical Das that we mean elsewhere, or is Kiddushin making the exception to standard?
Okay, so does the word Das mean the same thing in different places? Right, and also, just also to follow up on your first point, whether that's what you meant, so one question, the first question you mentioned is, are we talking about the Chasam and the Kala? But also, we could ask, is the answer the same for both of them in terms of degree? You know, maybe they both need something, but maybe they need different things. Right? You recall one earlier source that we saw about this? Right? Iran somewhere else?
Yeah, in the
Dara. Right, Iran in the Dara. What did Iran in the Dara, what did you say?
Yeah.
So what if Iran sound like in the Dara?
Sound like a woman with just being on Karasat, kind of withdrawing on the husband.
Okay, so that's going to be a big question as well. So these are some major points that we're going to have to keep in mind as we look at some of these topics. So what, any others before we move forward? Any other questions you think need to be identified as possible issues? Any other points that might specifically be in the background as we consider this question? All right, so let's see what comes up. So first of all, the reason we're up to this now because of that base is really just this one brief line in the Gemara and that base, where the Gemara says, right here towards the beginning, why? All right, so Gemara wants to know, why does the Mishnah say Haisha nicknames and not Haish Kone? So it says the Gemara here about 8-9 lines down from the top. Vibai say, I'll give you a possible answer. E Tanakona, have a mina filubakarcha. You might think that he can be kone her even against her will. So Tana, Hayusha Niknes, so instead the Mishnah says, Hayusha Niknes, why to tell you, midaito in shalomidaito, well. Okay, so here, just in terms of definitions, so we see the Gemara is talking about Das, at least in this way, Midaita, as the opposite of Balkar. So if that's the definition, what are we saying in English? What does Das mean in this sentence in our Gemara?
Consent.
Okay, not against her will. Balkar is against her will. That doesn't work. This is the opposite of Balkar. So she has to at least be willing. So, all we might know from here is that she can't get married against her will. He cannot marry her against her will. But that's not inconsistent, for example, with the Randa you mentioned, the Randa in the Darb. Right? We know that she has to be willing, but maybe she doesn't need anything more than that. Now, if you saw the Rashba here, so what's the Rashba's question about this Gemara, this very brief line Gemara that has so much behind it. So what's the Rashi's question here? Who even needs this? Right, because for the Rashba, it's obvious. How could Kiddushin Bal Karcha, could that possibly be? But why is that so obvious? Why is he assuming it's obvious? This is going to sound like Shavu Kesef Kesef all over again about why do we even need to talk about things? Why is or isn't something obvious? So why is he assuming it's obvious?
What are you going
to do? You have a fork up?
I think remember the last guy talked about how a woman could be like a little bit of a key.
Okay, so his concern is that we have to clarify, here I brought my walking Gemara here, so we'll have a little Vashti here also. Looking at the Vashti, we'll look at it together, which maybe could confuse things. But that's really his answer as to why we need to be told it. But why do you think that we don't need to be told? Why should it be obvious to Rashi? Are you focusing more on his answer? What's his question based on?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah?
Not
okay. So he's assuming that the woman is being machna something. Haish kona, haisha machna. And what? You can have a hakna bal karcho. So the answer to that is, yeah, the Gemara of Basra confuses us a little bit. The Gemara of Basra leaves us needing some clarification. But without Papa Basra, what are you talking about? So one Mar Mokum I don't think I remember to put on, a very famous Mar Mokum, and it's a shame because it's also rare you get an opportunity to put this Mar Mokum on, but let's look at it together. Gemara is here. So I forgot to mention it's a very famous Mesoras HaShas over here. So how often do you get told to look at the Mesoras HaShas? Mesoras HaShas, he's always in the background, no one's paying attention to him. You think that his only job is just to tell you sources and what could possibly be controversial or interesting about Mesoras HaShas. So every once in a while, Mesoras HaShas has his day in the sun, and it's a mucker in and of itself. And I have to publicly apologize that I even yet put it on the list to recognize that Mesoras HaShas has one of these days today where he himself is not only showing his sources, but he is the source. So you have your Gemara, take a look at the Mesoras HaShas Oz Beis. Mesoras HaShas quotes what he says seems to be a steer, or his point is that it's basically a steer. That, how do you know that you need das? So on the one hand, he quotes a Rashi in the Bamas, he has some days, which you can look up tomorrow morning, Dibur Masal Kedushin Da'alma, that there Rashi says, V'holcha v'haisa l'isha acher, and if the woman goes and marries herself off to another guy, so how does it sound like? What's the thrust of the pasuk? It sounds like mitaita mashma. It sounds like she chose to do this. That apparently it's not possible for it to happen in the other way. However, I know Rashi would come on, Mandala and Aleph, your Masal Kedushin, the Midaita, the Goyin Das Hamach. So, Mesoras HaShas, again, not usually saying more than just a reference, they can't expect him to explain so much. But the point here is that this Mesoras HaShas is basically calling a stira between these two Rashis. Do you perceive why it's a stira?
What's the Rashi here saying?
Sorry?
What's the Rashi position
saying? Rashi, you position later on, says, Das. We need das machne, which essentially is what the Rashba was asking here. That if you have somebody being machne or something, so of course you need das. You can't be machne something against your will. So this Mesoras HaShas is telling you there's a stira in Rashi's. What's the stira? What's he pointing out? Jonah?
This is the two different recourse when you need a das.
Okay, so that on the surface is it. But it's more than that, right? It's not just we can handle if there were two different sources that basically said the same thing. Because, okay, you know, sometimes that happens. But there's more to it than that. It's not just that it's two things saying the same thing. But if you think about it more, there's something about the nature of the sources.
Two different ways of looking at it.
Okay. Okay, all right. So explain what you mean.
One is treating Kedushin as a regular opinion that matter.
Where
there's a buyer and seller, as opposed to the second one, which is more specifically connected to an ishus oriented kidney.
Okay, now that's the important point. No, is that what you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like it was exactly what
you said. It a little better, but.
Yeah, I know. But now there's no point anymore. Yeah, I hear you. So, essentially, that's what the real issue is that the Mesoras HaShas is highlighting. Right, that here, the Rashba asked that you're always going to need das. So that is seeing Kedushin as just one example of a Kenyan. We have Kenyanim all over the place. Kenyanim have rules. So, of course, Kedushin has this rule too. So you can't have a Kenyan without das makna. So that's what Rashi later in Kedushin sounds like. Green and das makna. You have to have the person who's making the Kenyan willing and involved. Well, indeed, the Rashi in Yavamos sounds like it's something else. Rashi Nivalda sounds like it's saying that there's something specific about Kedushin, that we need a limud from within Kedushin to tell us that Kedushin is inherently not going to work without the Das of Yish. So that's interesting. So that's something that is going to be in the background of the subject. So now, let's just look at the Gemara and Bava Basra together so we have a sense of that.
If you happen to have brought your Bava Basras, I'll be especially impressed. But, assuming you don't have it, I'll just listen along.
So, the Gemara, which really starts in the Testament Aleph, bottom of the Testament Aleph, Bava Basra, the Gemara brings up this question of Tzluhu Gazav. So, if somebody is told to sell something, and he's forced at gunpoint, or any other type of pressure to sell something, so does the sale take effect? Now, just some background here, well, why would I think it should take effect? And the Gemara, which I don't think this is part of the discussion here, but the Gemara contrasts that where with Tulu Yoli, if you're told to give something to somebody, I put a gun to your head and I say, give that to me. So then we understand that's what we call armed robbery. We don't say, well, you gave it to me as a gift, so you know that was your call. But we call that armed robbery. So why is there anything to talk about here? If I put a gun to your head and I say, sell me your laptop, so why would I even think that that's any different? So who's up first here? Oh, beautiful. All right, yes, Donnie.
Because the person who's being forced is getting some sort of
okay, so once there's compensation, right, maybe you wouldn't have chosen to enter into this transaction, but if there is some type of compensation, so then maybe that compensation at the end of the day means you went through with it willingly, even though you clearly had to be dragged to the table, but the compensation makes it an actual transaction. We should emphasize here, just for practical purposes, that this sugya isn't really addressing what you're allowed to do, which is going to be important in general for some of the issues of Kedushin and the like. But even here, before you get to Kedushin, so we know there's an Isser in the Torah, it's actually an Isser in the Aseret HaDibros, and it's called Lo Sachmo. So if you pressure someone, forget using a gun, but if you even just create a situation where somebody feels pressure to sell you something that they don't want to sell, even if you pay for it, just like how it sounds from the Gemara in the beginning of Sanhedrin, the whole discussion of the Rishonim, but it's very likely that what's being discussed here is a violation of the Isser of Losachmo. So we're not talking about what's mutter here, just the question of, is it a valid transaction? So if somebody is forced against their will to enter into the transaction, and lamaisa they do it, so do we say at least the sale is a sale? Question like that?
Yeah, I was just going to ask, maybe like the way it works is that a person is migale their das by the mere giving of the item over to somebody else, even if they're in distress. The way that das works is that it works by some sort of maisa that a person has. Maybe that's just like a short way to see das.
So explain that a little better, saying that the maisa that they do by the fact of giving it over,
that is migale their das.
But then even
that
if they give it over, but even if they give it over without being paid, you could say it's not that.
Right, but it needs to be some sort of transaction.
Why though?
Otherwise it's matana.
But why is matana no good?
Why is matana? For what?
A forced matana. Why is the forced matana no good? Right, well the point being the forced matana, we have no reason to think that it's anything other than you're doing this at gunpoint. But here, the gunpoint is what was brought in the beginning, but we're concerned that since the mice are getting paid, so that means at the end of the day, you're okay with it, even though you clearly resisted at the beginning. So here, Shri Gemara says, Tzluvizav Zvine Zvini, Velo Amran, Ella Visad Istam. And this idea that it works, so that's if someone says, sell me off you. Aval Visad Zula, but if it's a specific sada, then no. And why not? So you see the Rashbam's explanation here. Sada stam
If you say somebody in one of your fields, the mocker is also, he picked one and sold that, the caper, the midaito, the birer, rosh ben birer, shem a poshish for kokat, the number of makir. Since it was up to him to pick which one he's going to get, okay, so then maybe he picked one he could live without, and Lamaisa, he's okay with it. But the sadazu, if you pick a specific sada, he's got to sell that, then he could cool, live for sadazu, also mocker. So then, that means that he was forced to do it, and he did it against his will. So, also, even if once we say that the specific field doesn't work, so then we only say it doesn't work if we don't see that he at least counts the coins. Because if he counts the coins, then maybe he decided to accept it. If he does look at the money, so he checks, maybe it makes a difference how much is in there. So then that would mean he accepted it. But if he just doesn't even look at the money, it shows he's not interested no matter what it is, so then that indicates again that it's being forced. And then the Gemara goes on to say, well, now we'll have a lishna mute, and this is also still true only if there was no other way he could have gotten out of it. About have a lishna mute, well, if there was some other way he could have gotten out of it, if he could have said, oh, let me go check with my manager, like they say, used car stores or whatever it is, he could have said, I have to go stand over there right now, and found some way to get out of the whole conversation, and he didn't do it, but then again, he said maybe he did want it. So it sounds like basically our tilt is towards saying that if there's a transaction, then the transaction will put everything into that transaction and say that ultimately it was willing. And that the only way we won't say that is if we construct a situation where there is no indication of cooperation whatsoever. So there was no other way he could get out of it. He doesn't even look at the money. He's just completely showing that there's no participation on his part whatsoever. So then maybe we'll say it's not considered to be a Kenyan, but if there's any room for there to be a little bit of the possibility that he ultimately settled on the deal, then the deal is good. So the health is cool, So the bottom line is that even if it's a specific field, we say that the transaction is good. Daha isha kisada zu dami. Another line I have to use under the book. The Amar Ameimar, Ameimar says, so consider, so isha would be in the category of sada zu, that she's a very specific, her whole life here that she's talking about, so there's no way to see it as picking one sada among many. It's like sada zu. And still, once again, by Yusha, Amar Ameimar Tumuhu Vekadish Kedusha Kedusha. That if he's forced to be Mekadesh, so his Kedushim are good, that's something we'll have to talk about more at length tomorrow. Amar Barashi Amar Beisha Vadai Kedushim Lohel. That by the woman's side, so the Kedushim is for sure no good. Why? Because who asa Shalot Behogin? He did no good, he acted inappropriately. So we have paid him back, and we have undone his badness. And we have negated the impact of his kedusha. So this, by the way, is a phrase that appears a couple of times in Shas, and is a major, major question how that has any potential applicability today. And the idea that Chazal somehow, either broadly or specifically, could be mafkia kedushin, could declare a kedushin that otherwise should be valid, could declare it to be invalid. So what exactly is the significance of that? Does it have any room in modern psak? Is it something that could address situations of getting couches and the like? That's a major, major discussion. So this is one of the handful of places where we find the Gemara telling us the concept exists on some level. And it's a different discussion. Maybe it's a good Sunday discussion. When does it have applicability or not? So here, Chazal have negated the Kedusha. And the Gemara asks, well, the Ravina, the Ravashi, so Tainif, the Kosh, the Kasva. So I could believe such a thing if it was with Kesef, and as the Rashbam adds here, because Hefker Bezdin Hefker, because Bezdin has some authority over how to assign money, they can say that the whole King Kesef wasn't legit. But Kaddish Bebiya Mai, so what if it wasn't done through Kesef, it was done through Bebiya? So how could Chazal come and interfere with that? So, so what could you say to that? So Amalei, so he said to him, Shavu Rabban will be also be Lesmus, that Chazal had the ability to create a immorality, the act of immorality out of his Bia. That his Bia wouldn't be the same condition, but rather Bia Bia's nose doesn't have any significance. So again, it's more hugely important for a lot of issues that we will discuss in another context. But here, what we're interested in is, what does this say about Kedushin and the role of consent? So, how does this Gemara, this is going to be an important question, does this Gemara tell you anything about the role of consent in Kedushin? What would you say? I mean, we see, bottom line, that we don't allow a marriage to take place where the woman is not willing. But does it tell you anything about the nature of the mechanics of things?
It makes it seem like it's possible for a man to be married to a woman as well, but the way that the Rabbanan institutionalized it made it impossible for that to happen.
Okay, so that, I think that's definitely a part of it, right? It sounds like conceptually it could have been, and just practically it isn't. It's definitely an important point. And there's something else here, right? What else do you note, let's say, if you consider the Masaros HaShas's point? Right, where do you see it from Masaros HaShas? Marty?
Kiddushin would also be considered as a normal kinyan
here. Oh, okay. Right, so it sounds like from this sugya that Kedushin, really, there's nothing to talk about except through its comparison to Kinyanim in general. That the question of what works and what doesn't work is going to be based on looking at Hilchos Kinyanim and plugging it in. But you don't see any indication from this Gemara that Kedushin is distinct from other Kinyanim because of a drasha like, for example, of a Hilcha V'Haisa. And so there's two Rashis, as Jonah pointed out, then that the first Rashi, the Rashi Nivamah, sounds like it's about something specific to Kedushin, and the Rashi later on in Kedushin focuses Das Makna just on something that's applicable to Kinyanim as a whole. So Baba Basra also seems like that's where we're coming from. But it's about Kinyanim, not about anything that's specific to Kedushin. So now, just before we run out of time, let's insert the Rambam into this conversation, and we'll have to pick up from that tomorrow. And so you saw the Rambam, the Rambam in Hilchos Yishuv Parak Daf Halacha Aleph. So what does the Rambam say? Ein ha'isha miskadeshes elo lirtzono. Hamakadesh yisha bal karcha eina mikudeshes. And then he goes on to say other things, which we'll talk about tomorrow, about the role of the husband, but just this first line, so do you get an impression one way or another? Where does the Rambam fit into this whole discussion? So that's something maybe we'll have to pick up with tomorrow. So is the Rambam stating something a din in Hilchos Ishus? Is he stating a din in Hilchos Kinyanim? Is he saying both? Does it make a difference? So you saw the Magen Mishnah over there. So let's start off with that point. So just to quickly recap what we spoke about today. So we ended off our topic of Shavu Kesef with a kind of footnote that the Iran raises the issue of whether it extends to Karka as well, which we swear it should, except that anonymous Rishonim, such as those named Bala Itter, say that you cannot use Karka because of Makar Shavaya Yitzia and it's no good for a get. And the Iran disagrees mostly because he doesn't think that the Hekesh goes beyond the kinyan of the kinyan of Shtar, the extent to Kesef. We discussed a few nekudos that were raised by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovetz Shiurim. One, the question of, is he just assuming that the drasha doesn't go beyond Shtar, or are there reasons to exclude it? Do we assume that it goes to all the Kinyanim? And then we have other hermeneutical points, which is the word from English for Midas of Tenet Veshtahan. We have other hermeneutical reasons to not extend it to this specific aspect of Kesef. So that goes to the question again, is Kesef just one of the Kinyanim, or are the Kinyanim linked, or the Kinyanim have some significant differences between them, and that's highlighted by this question. And then second point about why is it even true about Get, is it because of the idea that it should be limited to Sefer, or is it Dabar Nitan Miyad Miyad, and to what extent does that carry over to Kiddushin? And also, what if somebody uses Karka Mishnah Sayoga? So do we say that that is probably the Machlok Rishonim without Matana Al-Nasa Hatsir, or is it maybe even worse than Matana Al-Nasa Hatsir? So that was another point that was raised. And then we got into this question of Das. We raised some important questions we're going to have to answer. What does Das mean? What are different terms like Das, Ratzon, Kavana, etc. have to do with this? Is the question the same for Yish and Yisha and all those related points? We saw that our Gemara says a very short line, just that Yisha is not nicknamed Balkartha, and apparently Balkartha and Midaita there are used as opposites, Das meaning not Balkartha. Rashbah asks, well, obviously not, why do we need to be told that? So why is it so obvious? Apparently he sees it as an issue of Das Makna is always necessary, and therefore how could you never have mina differently? And we noted the Masara Shashas, that the Masara Shashas calls attention to what seems to be a stira, that Rashi and Yevamos quotes this pasuk of Ahalcha V'Haisa, which sounds like it's a din specific to Kiddushin, and Rashi later on in Kiddushin talks about Das Makna, which sounds like the logic and mechanics of Kinyanim is what gets in the way here and stops us from having Yisha Balkarcha, but not because of anything specific to Kiddushin. We saw the Sugya in Baba Basra with Tluhu V'Zavin, where the Gemara seems to be treating Kinyan Kiddushin like every other Kinyan and not necessarily acknowledging anything specific to Kinyan Kiddushin as a factor here. And then we looked at the Rambam's language, which is what we'll have to go and pick up with tomorrow. So again, I'll give you a few extra makoros to explore tomorrow, and we'll take this topic a little bit further, and we'll see where we get. So I wish you a day of Das, a day of Rosham, a day of Kavana, and